You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire. PyPI puts a temporary hold on operations. OMB outlines federal AI governance. Germany sounds the alarm on Microsoft Exchange server updates. Cisco patches potential denial of service vulnerabilities. The U.S. puts a big bounty on Black Cat. Darkula and Tycoon are sophisticated phishing as a service platforms. Don't dilly-dally on the latest Chrome update. On our Threat Vector segment, host David Moulton has guest Sam Rubin, VP and Global Head of Operations at Unit 42, to discuss Sam's testimony to the U.S. Congress on the multifaceted landscape of ransomware attacks, AI and automation, and the need for more cybersecurity education. And data brokers reveal alleged visitors to Pedophile Island. It's Thursday, March 28th, 2024. I'm Dave Bittner, and this is your CyberWire Intel Briefing. To combat an ongoing malware upload campaign, the Python Package Index, PyPI, temporarily halted new project creations and user registrations earlier today. Researchers from Checkmarks identified a series of malicious packages linked to a typo squatting attack aimed at installing these packages via the command line. This sophisticated multi-stage attack targets the theft of cryptocurrency wallets, browser data, and various credentials. The malware, embedded within the setup.py file of each package, uses obfuscated and encrypted code to execute upon installation, retrieving further encrypted payloads designed to pilfer sensitive information. Additionally, it incorporates a mechanism to maintain its presence on infected systems across reboots. PyPI later reported the issues as being resolved and resumed normal operations. The White House has mandated U.S. federal agencies to implement AI safeguards by December, including appointing chief AI officers and establishing AI governance boards. This directive, outlined in a memo from the Office of Management and Budget, aims to ensure responsible AI usage that benefits the public and enhances mission effectiveness, while acknowledging AI's limitations and risks. Agencies are instructed to detail AI tool usage in annual reports and make government-owned AI code public. This is in addition to completion of all actions from President Biden's AI executive order requiring agencies to cease using non-compliant AI systems unless critical operations are at risk. The memo also emphasizes transparency, encouraging the sharing of custom-developed AI code via open-source platforms, and mentions a $5 million proposal to expand AI training within the government. Germany's cybersecurity authority, the BSI, is currently calling on thousands of organizations to update their Microsoft Exchange software. highlighting that at least 17,000 servers are at risk from critical vulnerabilities. These flaws are being exploited by cybercriminals and state actors for malware distribution, cyberespionage, and ransomware attacks. Particularly vulnerable sectors include education, healthcare, judiciary, local government, and medium-sized businesses. Despite repeated warnings and a red threat level declaration since 2021, many servers remain outdated, with about 12% lacking security updates and 25% running on old patch versions of Exchange 2016 and 2019. BSI President Claudia Plattner emphasized the critical need for cybersecurity prioritization, noting the unnecessary risks to IT systems, services, and sensitive data due to neglect in updating these servers. Cisco announced patches for several vulnerabilities in its iOS and iOS XE software that pose a risk of unauthorized denial-of-service attacks. The most critical flaws have a CVSS score of 8.6. Additionally, vulnerabilities were found in the Multicast DNS, OSPF version 2, and the ISIS protocol, all exploitable without authentication through crafted packets. A secure boot bypass in AP software, allowing modified software loading via physical access, was also patched. Seven other medium severity issues were addressed, including privilege escalation and command injection. Cisco has not observed these vulnerabilities being exploited in the wild, but urges users to update their devices promptly to prevent potential attacks. The U.S. State Department is offering a $10 million bounty for information on the Black Cat ransomware group responsible for the cyber attack on United Health. This initiative, part of the Rewards for Justice program, seeks details leading to the identification or location of individuals involved in state-sponsored cybercrime. The Black Cat Group, also known as ALF-V, targeted United Health's tech unit Change Healthcare, affecting over 100 applications and compromising sensitive data, including medical records and payment details. The attack severely disrupted healthcare payments and treatments, with United Health only recently starting to address a $14 billion medical claims backlog. Despite claims of a $22 million ransom payment to Black Cat, it's unclear if system control has been restored. Cybersecurity analysts at Netcraft have uncovered the use of the Darkula phishing as a service platform by threat actors to launch sophisticated attacks via iMessage. Darkula has supported over 20,000 phishing domains, targeting more than 100 brands worldwide, primarily impersonating postal services. This service distinguishes itself by leveraging encrypted messaging platforms like iMessage and RCS for smishing attacks, bypassing traditional SMS scam defenses, and exploiting user trust. Darkula offers easy-to-deploy phishing sites with numerous templates, monetizing through paid subscriptions. Its anti-detection measures include obfuscating malicious content paths and using domains with cloaked front pages, significantly enhancing its invasion capabilities. Researchers say about 120 new Darkula domains appear per day in 2024. Meanwhile, the Tycoon 2FA phishing kit targeting Microsoft 365 and Gmail accounts has been updated to evade detection more effectively. Active since August 2023 and discovered by Sequoia, this phishing-as-a-service platform uses an adversary-in-the-middle tactic to bypass multi-factor authentication by stealing session cookies. Recent enhancements to the kit's JavaScript and HTML coding, alongside improved evasion of security scans and selective traffic acceptance, make tracking Tycoon 2FA more challenging. The kit, known for sophisticated phishing attacks, including email phishing links and imitation Microsoft login pages, has been linked to over 1,200 domains. These updates have made Tycoon 2FA a more formidable tool in the phishing landscape. Google has updated Chrome for Windows, Mac, and Linux, addressing 7 security issues. Users are advised to update Chrome promptly, especially due to a critical vulnerability, a use-after-free flaw in the Angle component, which handles WebGL content. This vulnerability could allow attackers to exploit heap corruption via a crafted HTML page, potentially leading to compromised systems. If you can, don't delay, update Chrome today. Coming up after the break on our Threat Vector segment, host David Moulton talks with Sam Rubin, VP and Global Head of Operations at Unit 42, about Sam's testimony to the U.S. Congress on the multifaceted landscape of ransomware attacks. Stay with us. And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI. Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. David Moulton is host of the Threat Vector podcast right here on the CyberWire network. In a recent episode, he spoke with Sam Rubin, VP and Global Head of Operations at Unit 42, to discuss Sam's testimony to the U.S. Congress on the multifaceted landscape of ransomware attacks, AI, and automation, and the need for more cybersecurity education.
There was a hospital actually from my home state of Vermont there, coincidentally, and there was a school district from Texas, and they both spoke about their experience as victims of ransomware attacks. And the administrator from the Vermont hospital, what he said was pretty remarkable in that they ended up spending more in the ransomware response and recovery at the hospital than they did through all of COVID and sort of adjusting their protocols to providing patient care during that pandemic. So just incredibly painful and impactful experience for them to go through.
Welcome to Unit 42's Threat Vector, where we share unique threat intelligence insights, new threat actor TTPs, and real-world case studies. Unit 42 has a global team of threat intelligence experts, incident responders, and proactive security consultants dedicated to safeguarding our digital world. I'm your host, David Moulton, Director of Thought Leadership for Unit 42. Today, I'm talking with Sam Rubin, VP and Global Head of Operations at Unit 42, about his testimony to Congress. Sam shared insights about the evolving sophistication and speed of ransomware attacks, the changing tactics of threat actors, and the impact on sectors like education, healthcare, and government. He also talked about the importance of AI and automation in cybersecurity defenses and the importance of public-private partnerships in combating cyber threats. let's get right into this conversation. Sam, you traveled to Washington, D.C., sat before Congress. What prompted you to go out to D.C. and talk to our legislators?
As a company, Palo Alto Networks is very engaged with the federal government, as well as state and local governments. And we got this opportunity just because of the relationships that we have with various lawmakers. They had scheduled a hearing in September on the threat of ransomware and how it's impacting organizations. And so just as part of Palo Alto Networks relationships, we had this opportunity and it was offered to me and I jumped on it.
So your testimony placed a significant emphasis on the evolving sophistication of ransomware attacks. What have you seen in this regard, and how should this evolution change the approach to cybersecurity?
I've been in this space doing incident response for 20 years and really helping organizations respond to ransomware ever since it's been sort of a threat out there that organizations have faced at least 10 years. And there's been quite an evolution over that time. Back when we started, I would characterize the attacks as sort of spray and pray, indiscriminate targeting based on phishing, and then what would happen from a demand standpoint. You're looking at, $500, $1,000 to decrypt. Contrast that with where we are today, where many of the targets are large enterprises, large state or federal government entities. The demands are in the, hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars. I think our median demand is around $650,000 that we see. And the tactics that are being used are much more sophisticated in terms of how they're getting in and also what they do after the threat actors break in. Just a constant evolution of sophistication and speed, really.
Talk to me about that sophistication and speed a bit more.
First of all, let's talk about how they break in. If you're thinking of it from a MITRE attack standpoint, it's the intrusion vector. How are they getting into the organization? And one of the things that we see in terms of sophistication is rapid weaponization of disclosed vulnerabilities. So things that are essentially like a zero-day kind of, day one after notification or, within hours of notification, we start to see weaponization of those vulnerabilities. And, our incident response team starts to get the call for attacks that have followed from those very newly disclosed vulnerabilities. I think, for example, right now, the past week or two, we've seen the Avanti VPN being an example of that, but it's constant. It's sort of what's disclosed leads to very quickly rapid weaponization. And that's a newer trend. Then when we talk about after they break in, sort of post-exploitation, the sophistication is coming in how quickly they're moving from intrusion to exfiltration. And we're seeing that drop. This is something that we've measured for some time. And between, I think, where we were in 2021, where that dwell time was about 30 days or so, we're seeing it now, 1 to 2 days. So just they're getting in, they're going much more quickly in terms of when they're taking data, locking files up, and that's making it very, very hard to defend against.
AI and automation were key topics in your testimony. What led you to emphasize those technologies, and how do you foresee them shaping the future of cybersecurity defenses against threats like ransomware?
Congress was really interested in hearing from Palo Alto Networks about both AI as a threat, as well as AI and cyber defense. And from a lawmaker's perspective, they're really looking at, what do we need to do to be thinking about how we protect our citizens from the risks of AI, whether that's sort of discriminatory lending practices, whether it's the bad guys using AI. But they also acknowledge that AI can be used as a force for good. And really, that's a lot of what I focused on in my testimony is how, as defenders, we can be using AI to do a better job in protecting our organizations.
You discussed the importance of preparing the cyber workforce for tomorrow. How should educational institutions or training programs approach cybersecurity education?
I think we've seen tremendous progress in it being even part of the curriculum. Certainly when I went to college, while there was sort of CS as a discipline, there certainly wasn't really cybersecurity. Now, a lot of universities and colleges have cybersecurity specific programs. We partner with a number of universities to, talk to their students, to recruit. And so I think just first of all, recognizing that there's a need and, there is a tremendous shortage in the workforce for having trained cybersecurity experts and having people who are, ready to enter the workforce in this area is a huge step in the right direction.
Absolutely. Sam, thanks for joining me today on Threat Vector.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, David.
If you're concerned about ransomware and extortion, you should check out our webinar, Unabashed, Unashamed, and Unpredictable, The Changing Face of Ransomware. Sam, along with Unit 42's managing partner, Chris Scott, and consulting directors, David Ferrone and Leanne Peltzner, share what it takes to keep your organization protected. I'll include a link to that webinar in the show notes. That's it for Threat Vector this week. I want to thank our executive producer, Michael Heller, our content and production teams, which includes Shada Azimi, Sheila Drosky, Tanya Wilkins, and Danny Milrad. I edit the show, and Elliot Peltzman is our audio engineer. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Until then, stay secure, stay vigilant. Goodbye for now.
Be sure to check out the Threat Vector podcast right here on the CyberWire Network and wherever you get your podcasts.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And finally, the recent discovery from Wired that nearly 200 mobile devices left a digital breadcrumb trail from Jeffrey Epstein's notorious island back to their owners' homes and workplaces is a disturbing testament to the pervasive lack of privacy in our digital age. While the visitors to Epstein's pedophile island may have been engaged in morally reprehensible activities, the fact that their movements were tracked and exposed by data broker Near Intelligence throws a stark light on the double-edged sword of surveillance technology. Wired's uncovering of this data demonstrates not just the potential for holding the corrupt accountable, but also the terrifying precision with which individuals can be monitored. This capability, rooted in the murky dealings of data brokers under the lax privacy regulations of the U.S., shows a concerning disregard for personal boundaries. The data accurately tracked individuals from luxury accommodations to Epstein's lair, highlighting the ease with which personal movements are commodified. This incident should serve as a wake-up call for the urgent need for robust privacy protections. While the individuals tracked to Epstein's island may not evoke sympathy due to the island's dark reputation, the broader implications for privacy rights cannot be ignored. The readiness with which detailed location data can be exploited underscores the dire consequences of the U.S.'s fragmented privacy laws compared to stronger protections like those in Europe. The revelation about Epstein's island visitors, while showcasing the potential to uncover illicit activities, primarily exposes a gaping hole in our privacy defenses. It's a glaring example of how individuals' whereabouts, regardless of their actions, can be traced and traded like currency. This should alarm not just privacy advocates, but anyone who believes in the fundamental right to personal privacy without unwarranted intrusion. The ongoing failure of Congress to pass comprehensive privacy legislation not only leaves citizens exposed to surveillance capitalism, but also to the whims of any entity willing to exploit their data for gain or scrutiny. Over on our Caveat podcast, my co-host Ben Yellen and I often wonder just what it's going to take to get our dysfunctional U.S. Congress to act on federal privacy legislation. It is a sad reality that maybe, just maybe, something like this, where the rich and powerful are caught being where they should not be, could be the thing that moves the needle. Maybe. And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. We'd love to know what you think of this podcast. You can email us at cyberwire@n2k.com. N2K Strategic Workforce Intelligence optimizes the value of your biggest investment, your people. We make you smarter about your team while making your team smarter. Learn more at n2k.com. This episode was produced by Liz Stokes. Our mixer is Trey Hester, with original music by Elliot Peltzman. Our executive producers are Jennifer Iben and Brandon Karp. Our executive editor is Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow.